Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode 128 of Cephalon Squared. How you doing? My name's Cephalon Greg. I'm joined by Cephalon Lucas. Hi.
Hi. That's a great opening there.
That's right. I'm going to edit it out so no one will hear it. No one will even know. You knob. And I can edit all this out too. So sucked in.
Leave this in.
Yeah, it was a false start. But anyway.
With a quick fix.
Exactly. So, Christmas is come and gone, if that's your thing. So, you are probably very full, slightly hungover, full of presents, or just it's another day. Whichever you like. It's up to you.
And if you're full of presents, you should probably go see a doctor.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, it depends on what the present is, eh? Eh? Sorry, everyone. I apologize for my filthy mind. Anyway, if you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you don't, I hope you had a good holiday period, even if you did go over someone's for dinner and have some fun and enjoy and all that kind of jazz. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, I had a good time. And stayed safe with all the craziness that's rising up again.
All the crazy COVID craziness.
Yep. Two new strands.
Woo! Stop it. Stop it. Stop with the strands. Anyway, let's go to a lighter note and talk about the weather, I guess.
Yeah. Lighter.
Haha. Let's.
Because it's bright and sunny and hot.
Kinda. Weather rambles.
Here in the sunny city of Ipswich, it is currently 30 degrees Celsius with a 44% humidity. It's not the worst it's been, but it could definitely be cooler in my books. That is 86 Fahrenheit for you Fahrenheit peoples. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. See, even Lucas has folded and he's helping you out with the Fahrenheits now. He refused for a long time, but here he is.
Yeah, consider that my Christmas present to you guys.
Oh, what a sweetheart. What a present. Down here in Melbourne town, it's 28 degrees Celsius, 83 degrees Fahrenheit, and 32% humidity. So it's not too far off temperature-wise, but it is not at all sunny. It is cloudy. There's a storm coming in. It's just a shit-feeling day. I hate those stormy hot days.
Hot. Hot?
Yeah, it's hottish. And storm.
No. It's mildly warm.
Okay, it's not a competition. Everything's a competition for Lucas. Look at him go. I'm sorry, it's only mildly warm. And a storm. let me rephrase then. I hate those mildly warm days with storms. Is that better?
Yes, much.
Nope. Anyway, that was the weather. I hope you enjoyed it. We certainly did. It's time to talk about Warframe and video games. What'd you get up to, Lucas?
Well, of course, there was Warframing. Lots of Warframing this week. New event that came out a couple of weeks ago now. So more of that happening. But I've also been jumping into more Shovel Knight. Got it on PC now, so I can actually start doing my practice runs for a Plague Knight speedrun. Streamed that, actually, the other night when Rathity had a good chat with me in there. And I also picked up, finally, Elder Scrolls Online. And that's a thing. That's a thing that I'm doing now. So that's possibly a thing I will also be streaming in the future. Yeah.
You should. It's good. I wonder if there's crossplay between PC and PS4 players, because I play on PS4.
I doubt it. But
interesting.
It'd be cool.
Interesting. For me, I haven't played really many of any video games at all this week. The only thing I really played was Warframe to get up to date on the event, which we'll be talking about today. So, boring week for me, because it's been so goddamn busy. Because of obvious reasons. Xmas and Children's. Anyway, thank you. I don't even know where I'm going. My brain lost its direction. It derailed. All the little citizens of my brain are now strewn across the rail racks. I can't fucking English. Like, I should just give up today. Tried to say something funny, came out all wrong, and was funny for different reasons. So laugh it up. Everyone just sit there. Laugh at me for a bit. Go on. Get it all out of your systems.
Very nice. Well
done. Can we continue now?
Yep.
I think so. All right. So it was Christmas. We do find that fewer people really listen this time of year, so we're going to keep it relaxed, I guess, is the way to put it.
Simples, yes.
Yeah, simples and relaxed. We'll have most of the usual stuff, but we're really just going to talk about Operation Orphix Venom today and keep it nice and simple. So there is a bit of news, though, which I was surprised to see. I didn't expect there to be any, but there is.
News is good. News is always good. All right, so let's jump into that.
News.
Holiday decorations are available in the market. If that's your thing, go get them. Tano, get them. Go, get them. There's like Christmas trees for the dojo and snowiness and Christmassy stuff for the orbiter. Yeah, do it. Do the thing.
Do it. Next up, all Tenobaum tiers have been hit, so log in to get your rewards. There's quite a bit that was handed out, so get them. On top of that, DE, of course, has donated or will donate $45,000, that is, to Kids Help Phone, to helping the children. So thank you to DE.
Woo!
It's a good...
Well done.
Good cause.
Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
There are also now 6 Solstice Alerts on all platforms until January 4th, mostly for skins and Zyndanas, but there are also Former and Catalyst Blueprints to grab as well. So go and jump in and do it. You've got, like, a heap of days still to do it. So go, do it. You can do it.
A week.
I believe in you.
You've got a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, heap of days.
Heap of days.
All right, although Tenobaum is over, those that gift the Larvos collection to another player will score themselves a Transmutation Probe decoration. I don't know how long this is running for. Information will be posted in the notes, show notes, if you're interested and you want to make sure it's still going. Go check it out.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty, apparently.
I have it.
Who did you gift it to? You didn't gift it to me.
That's just the thing. I didn't gift it. I went looking into my my decorations yesterday. And there it was. It was there. I mean, I did a couple of small gifts to some people, you know, like just went through a few of my friends' wish lists and sent them a couple of the small things that they wanted. And yeah, now I have one. So I freaking have no idea what the hell happened, but it's there.
Well, it could have been part of your day one access for creators.
Possibly. But it's pretty. I like it.
Beautiful. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. All right. That was mine. So it's your turn now. Sorry.
Double Affinity on all platforms until January 4th. Go Mastery Hunting. So again, that is the next week, and it's been going for a bit now, so enjoy. That means if you do have a Affinity booster on manually that you've purchased from the market, then this is a quad Affinity booster.
Enjoy all the stacky stacks. We've talked about how to stack Affinity before. So, yes, just stack away.
Do it.
Whip crack away. Sorry. Okay, that's all the DE news, but there continues to be news. I'm a poet. We were guests on Xenogallian and Loz's Ten O'Clock podcast, the only other long-running podcast, which is much longer running than our podcast, let's be honest. So go check it out and give the guys some love because they deserve it because they're awesome guys. It's on YouTube. We'll put a link in the show notes, but really, just look up 10 O'Clock or Xenogallian. Just go. Why aren't you watching it yet?
10 O'Clock. Look up 10 O'Clock. It's a separate channel.
Oh, it is too.
It's a normal channel. Yeah. So yeah, look up 10 O'Clock.
100%.
It was a fantastic interview. We had a lot of great laughs. It was a great time.
There were chuckles that were had. It was very good, actually. We had a great old time. We had a grand old time. Yowza.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yabba dabba doo, indeed. Hey, you're old. I guess that stuff just lives on, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. There's no.
Although I did watch Flintstones when I was a little.
True. Flintstones was freaking awesome.
Yes.
And the Jetsons. Anyway, Warframe.
Warframe.
This is a podcast about Warframe, and we are going to discuss Operation Orphix Venom that came out a couple of weeks-ish ago on PC and is still yet to come to console. There's no massive spoilers that we'll be giving out, and realistically, everything we're going to be talking about, most of you console players out there are probably going to already be aware of, because it's a pretty simple, straightforward event. And in reality, videos have been shown all over the interwebs, so if you're trying to keep away from news about it, fair. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. we don't really plan on dropping any spoilers. There are some cool things that are spoken during the playing of the event by individuals, but we won't really say what they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lucas, you want to give us a little walkthrough on what Operation Orphix Venom is?
Okay. So, Sentients are attacking again. This time, they plan on trying to take over all the greater technologies of the Origin system, and this includes Warframes. So, in order to combat this new rising threat of the Sentients, we are putting our best boots on and we're getting down and dirty in the Necromex technology that is supposedly too stupid to be controlled by these particular Sentients.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
So each of the missions, there's three of them. Do they all play out on Jupiter? No, they don't, do they?
No, they're in the Jupiter area, weirdly enough, but you can get Grineer tile sets or Corpus tile sets.
So you get a couple of different tile sets. It feels fresh and new each time you play it, for the most part. It does. It's the same as every other event. The event is a set thing. You go in, you do a certain thing, and then you either leave or you keep doing that certain thing over and over again to get points to buy stuff. That's pretty much it. So after a while, you will get bored with it, I guess. We played for an hour-ish, hour and a half last night of that particular game mode, and I don't think I really got bored of it in an hour, hour and a half. I reckon it's got a good 5 to 10 hours.
It's got a good design to it.
Of life.
Yeah. I honestly think maybe it might have a bit more life to it.
Yeah.
As a actual game mode. Not so much just for Necromex. You know, if they remove the whole thing of you're only allowed to use your Necromex for this, then this thing could have a hell of a lot more survivability as a permanent, endless game mode. Because it is different from anything we've really got in the game. You know, there's no timer, there's no life support. It's basically these things are coming along trying to spread their influence as far as possible, and you've got to stop them and slow them down and minimize just how much control they have. So it's like an advanced version of Interception.
Mm. Yeah, I think it actually could play out quite well as a permanent addition to the map, simply because it really gives reason for Necromex to exist beyond just the Deimos set.
Yeah.
Or the lore reasons and all that kind of stuff. Which then comes down to the fact that they're removing Arkwing missions from the game, which is kind of like a bit of a question mark. But hey, I'm not commenting on that right now. This is all about Operation Orphix Venom. And yeah, I agree. It's actually quite an enjoyable little game mode. I couldn't quite figure out how the AABC...
The rotations.
Yeah, I couldn't quite figure out how the rotations were.
Rotation is a little bit weird. So, first off, let's just get a generalized perspective of what the actual event is.
Good idea.
So, you get into your mission. After a certain period of time, an Orphix will appear, and that is just essentially a bigger sentient that, you know, puts up a bubble, and the second your Warframe comes in contact with the bubble, it shuts down and you go into operator mode. So from there, you can either continue playing as an operator or you can jump into a Necromech. And the idea is that once the Orphix has landed, it will shoot out a number of modules that need to be destroyed, some little beacons that need to be destroyed. So while there are beacons active, the Orphix itself is invincible, so you destroy the beacons, it becomes vulnerable, you shoot it in its eye. Once it's down 50% of its HP, it'll send out another wave of beacons, making it invincible again. So you have to run around, destroy all those, and once they're then done, destroy the Orphix itself. Shoot it in the face, blow it up. Cool, that's your first Orphix. Done, dusted, dead. The bubble collapses, and now you can use your Warframe again in that area. After a little bit more of a period of time, another Orphix will spawn in somewhere else. Now, the thing is that the timer is set, so if you take too long trying to get rid of one Orphix, a second one can spawn in while the first one is active, and they continue to take over the area. You'll see that there is a control, how much the sentients control of the tile set. Once that hits 100%, you fail mission. So kill the Orphix as quick as possible to reduce their control over the tile set.
And that's it?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Now, people are wondering, some might be wondering, hey, I don't have a Necromech. How the hell am I going to do this? When you actually spawn into the mission, there will be two just sitting there going, hey, we're here for you if you need us. if you have more than two people that don't have one, you're slightly out of luck for a little bit. There will be others that you find in mission, but from the start, there's only two. So keep that in mind. If you don't have one, grab it as soon as you see it. It took me a while to actually find one last night.
It did a little bit, yeah.
Which was a pain in the bum because here's a tip for you. I didn't realize you actually have to put the Necromech summon into your gear wheel. I thought once you unlocked your Necromechs and you had one, it would automatically put the summon in there for you. But no, it does not. I had to put it in there for myself. So it's in there now. Yay. I can summon mine at will. Woohoo. Summoning your own is better. Even if you've only got a couple of mods on your weapon, it's better than the blank mods on or the blank versions that you can pick up in the game. Of course, still being able to pick that one up is better than nothing. But, you know, having a few mods on there makes all the difference in the world, in my opinion. But it's really a very simple and straightforward event. Lucas is talking about the beacons. They're not actually called beacons. We were talking about it last night, and now I can't remember it.
Yeah, I can't remember what they were called either. Call them beacons.
No, that's fair.
resonators. Orphix are resonators.
Yeah, good. You remembered. Yay, Lucas.
Yay.
That makes things easier. Now you know what you're actually shooting when you're out there. I mean, it's pretty damn clear. They come up as red markers on your mini-map, and they're little spirally rainbow fires. That's the only way I can explain them. Spirally rainbow fires. Is that okay with you, Lucas?
That's okay.
Do you approve of my description? Good. So, the Orphix, I think, is probably actually a little bit too easy, in my opinion. Because it is surrounded by a crap ton of different kinds of sentience. That makes it more difficult. And also, because it's an endless mission, it's good to start off a little bit easy because the difficulty does ramp up after time. And eventually, like me, you might find that you Necromech gets destroyed. So, yeah, that was a bad experience.
So, going off the Orphix / enemy scaling for the three different missions types, you got the very first one is starting off at level 15 for your first Orphix. An advanced one, which is a second tier one, starts at 25 for the Orphix, and the third one, which is the proper endurance run, is 35 for the Orphix level.
Yeah, but even at 35, it's still not a massive challenge.
And even looking at the level scaling on the endurance, once you hit 22 Orphix, it ends up being at level 69. So that's still fairly low and, you know, kind of on the easy side, but that does ramp up quite quickly from there. From 22 going on to 32, so just 10 Orphixes added on, you're jumping up to level 97. So it does start to get a little bit more tedious once you hit your 20s.
Yeah, and I mean, much like other events, the first two really just to get you practiced, I guess, with killing the Orphics. I think the first one just gives you a... What does it give you? Is it an emblem or is it
the reward? I'm pretty sure it was sigil. Sigil.
Yeah, it's either an emblem or a sigil. It's an emblem. The second one gives you a new Iatan sculpture, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty.
Yes, it is. And the third, you get an aura former and a new skin for the Malsalon, the weapon that comes standard on the Necromech. So that's pretty nice. Now, the points, who knows what the points how the points transmute into the actual phasic cells that you're supposed to be collecting.
So it's 10%. It's 10% of the points get turned into the phasic cells. So if you end up finishing a mission with 2,000 points, then you'll walk away with 200 phasic cells.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, that's 10%. Right. That's how maths works.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what can you buy? What can you buy
with the phasic cells? You can buy lots of things.
Yes, you can.
Lots of things. Like all the parts to Lavos.
And?
And Lavos's signature shotgun.
The Seedoo. Which is
fantastic. You can also get some cosmetic stuff like the Lavos alt helmet.
Yep.
And a new helmet for Necromex.
Yes.
Interestingly enough.
Kryptonaut helmet.
Swap up their appearance. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got the Seti Lacera, the Basmu, Stance Former, the new Simulacrum. You know, all the good rewards that came with Scarlet Spear at the beginning of the year. And, of course, a whole heap of Arcanes.
Yes, Arcanes. And let's not forget, you can also get a bunch of Necromech mods as well.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 different Necromech mods. Considering I've only got one Necromech mod, that's helpful. Thank you, video game. I'll collect more. However...
Now, Lavos and Seedoo, along with the Necromech mods, can actually drop from the mission itself during the rotations.
Which is really... damn cool. So while you're playing, depending on the rotations, you might get a piece to drop, which is cool and helpful. What did we get? We got the Lavos.
We got the
Neuroptics.
Neuroptics, yes. Lavos Neuroptics last night, yeah.
Yeah, so that managed to drop. So now I don't have to buy one of the parts, which is absolutely fantastic. The more that drop, the less you have to buy.
I will say that the drop rate is a little bit horrendous, though.
The drop rate is a little bit horrendous, and I think 10%... for the conversion of points transfer, to phasic cells is a bit low. So we were talking about it last night, and we figured out that within an hour, you might be able to get about 1,000 phasic cells. Actually, no, you'd get less than 1,000 phasic cells. It depends on what you play, what mission you play. We weren't exactly trying to... It wasn't exactly... a full hour dedicated to just smashing this thing. So I'd say you'd probably get about 1,000 phasic hours in an hour. And that works out to 4 or 5 hours for Lavos, 4 or 5 hours for the Seedoo, if nothing drops.
Yeah.
10 hours for both of those particular things, I don't think is too bad.
Oh, no.
I think that's fairly reasonable. But then on top of that, you still need to do at least probably another 5 to 10 hours just to get a few, whatchamacallits, arcanes and necromech mods. So it depends on whether how much time you put into it and the other weapons.
Not also that, but you also kind of want to maybe try and get yourself a second Lavos because of the helmet system.
Of course. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So it really depends on what you think, whether or not you think that it's worth it. I know many of us, I'm not really one of those people anymore, but I used to be, would get on and play 4 or 5 hours a night anyway. So, you know, 10 to 15 hours to get all the stuff in an event isn't so bad. But for someone like myself now, who's lucky to play an hour a week of this kind of event, yeah, it's a bit hard. So it basically means that, hey, I've got to pull my finger out of my butt and play a bit more, which is fine because I do. What do you think of it, Lucas?
Yeah, I kind of agree. It is, you know, for those casual players, it is a fairly good setup. But for those less than casual players like yourself,
hey, I'm not even casual now. Ouch.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, yeah, You're not a hardcore player.
I did burn out seriously.
You did burn out seriously. And I mean, freaking 4 years of one game will do that to you.
Yes.
It certainly did it to me. But yeah, it's not too hardcore for the hardcore player, and it's not too lax so that everyone can just click their fingers and get everything. As it stands, you know, if you want to try to get the Lavos pieces from the missions themselves, in the third tier mission, the endurance one, the Lavos pieces drop at a 4% a piece, 4% drop rate each, and can only drop from cycle A.
Mm.
So it, and that's the high chance of getting them. If you wanted to go do the lower ones, I think it's 2% for the very basic one at rotation C, and 3% on the middle ground for rotation C also to get the Lavos pieces. So yeah, the endurance one's the best way to go, with 4% chance to drop any of the pieces on rotation A.
Fair enough.
Ouch. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad we got one then.
Yeah. Certainly helps.
Oh, wow. And so this is something for some of you more advanced players out there, something that's really interesting about the way that the Orphic spawns work. They spawn across specific tiles, and you'll notice that they go to specific places. So there will be three tiles that the Orphix can spawn in within a mission, and you can refer to them as tile A, B, and C, and it will go A, B, C, C, B, A, B, C, C, A, B, A. It'll keep going like that. Or
yeah, there's a rotation to it.
There's two different types of rotations that it can be. So you can speed it up if you figure it out, because it can go A, B, C, C, A, B, B, A, C, C, A, B, B, A. So there's a couple of different ways it can go. Once you've figured it out, you can know exactly where you need to go to. And I was wondering why Lucas was going from place to place yesterday. He was trying to figure out the pattern.
The rotation, yeah.
So keep that in mind as well if you really want to try and min-max this the Orphic spawns. We haven't done the maths for you, and we're not going to.
Yeah, because it can get pretty ridiculous, you know, if you end up going to the wrong place, or you stay waiting in the wrong place for too long. Mm. You know, the next office pops up and it's 800 meters away. You got to hightail it, and if you don't get there quick enough to destroy it, then the second one will spawn in and you'll have even less time to deal with that.
Exactly. So you can do, I think, up to 36 rotations by the looks of things. Or at least the points you get maxes out at 36, as does the enemy level, which maxes out at 110. So there's quite a lot of different... there's a bit of complexity to this, even though it is fairly straightforward. There's no way to increase the number of phasic cells you get, by the way. Resource boosters or charm does not increase the amount that you get, so that's not going to help you.
It's directly tied to the score.
To the score only, yeah. It's just 10% based on that. Now, usually Necromechs have 3-minute cooldown if your Necromech dies, but it has been reduced to 1 minute for the event, so keep that in mind. That helps you out.
Definitely helps out.
Tenno Spectres will not work in the pulse field, so don't think that that is a good, clever way to get extra damage in there as well. Your specters won't work. Yeah.
Although Excalibur Umbra still works.
That's interesting.
Yes, I've seen a couple of the clannies and, you know, members of our Discord running around with Umbra, and yeah, he still seems to run around in the field and do his job, so that definitely helps out quite a bit.
I think there's probably a good lore reason for that. It probably breaks the transference, and because there is no transference with Umbra, he can do his thing. That is very interesting.
So cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, anything else that we want to say about Orphix Venom?
When it finally dies down and disappears, DE, please bring it back as a actual an actual endless mission, because I think it could actually, you know, it's a breath of fresh air compared to, you know, some of the other things we get. I would honestly rather do this than survival, and I love survivals.
Yeah, I actually do quite enjoy this. I don't know whether I would say I would prefer this to survivals. At the moment, I could say that because I do enjoy it, but yeah, I'm not sure about it in the long run. Quick tip, the resonators, and this is a tip that Lucas gave me last night, can be instantly destroyed by the Necromex melee slide and slam attacks, or the operator's void blast.
Yes. Operators, when they're happy and they like it, clap their hands, you can break them away.
They're happy and they like it. You're a quirky one, aren't you? Hey?
I am pretty quirky.
Yeah, remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
And building for corrosive is good against the Orphix, so keep that in mind. And of course, if you are a non-necromech haver, the third version, the endurance run version of this particular mode, will kick your ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you either want to go in with a group that you trust or give up after a little while. Good luck.
Good luck.
All right. Look forward to it on console, because it is a fun event and there's lots of good rewards to get, including Larvos. I don't have Larvos yet. Lucas, tell us about Larvos.
Oh my god, he's amazing.
Is that all you're going to say?
That's all I need to say.
What abilities do you like? Tell us, give us a review.
All right. I'll give you a bit of a review. Okay, so Larvos, very unique frame. You definitely don't want to build him like you build normal frames. To be honest, efficiency is an absolute waste of time, along with duration. Duration does work on him, but not in the normal ways that you would think. If you're going to build duration, what it does, it is increases the status duration of the abilities that deal the status effects onto enemies, which is basically every ability. Energy orbs. This one is a very important one. People have asked me constantly, what is the point to Larvos picking up energy orbs? Well, that is tied to his passive. If you pick up an energy orb with Larvos, he gains 10 seconds of status immunity. 10 seconds. Okay. He can't be affected by status. It's awesome.
That's a long time.
His third ability is a massive staple to his kit because of the fact that it constantly... It does a hell of a lot of damage, a hell of a lot of CC, and it fuses ammo boxes together to create universal ammo.
Oh, that's right,
and
yeah.
It fuses health and energy together to create universal orbs, which when you pick them up, you will receive energy and health. It's amazing. Basically, having Larvos in play means you will not need to use ammo mutation on any of your weapons, because you just cast his three and you scoop up the bullets and they smoosh together. And this also works on Arcwing guns. So if you're running out of ammo on the Arcwing guns, you can use this ability to use the universal ammo to refuel your Arc guns. It's fantastic. Awesome. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
His second ability has the lowest cooldown of all of his abilities, and it just is a great ability for moving around and, you know, crowd control, dealing a lot of status effects all over the place. Fantastic. I think my favorite combination of things to do with him at the moment is... Okay, actually, here's one. You can hold two keys at the same time to infuse your ability, your elements into the ability simultaneously. So... you don't have to click one, click two. No, you can do them both at the same time. And whoop, there you go. You've combined two elements.
That's useful.
My favorite one to do is the ice and fire. So your two and four to create blast and then cast your three. And then you're basically shooting out a swirly ball of blast procs, and anything that gets hit with the blast proc and gets knocked on its ass.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. So freaking good. And he's tanky. Like, stupid tanky. Ridiculously tanky. How's a good way to put this? Okay, we all know the Lua Tenno trial things.
What?
We all know the the Lua Tenno Trials.
Oh, yeah.
That one where you stand in the middle of the room on the platform and have all the lasers blast at you.
Oh, yeah.
With the correct build, you can stand on that thing without taking any damage.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's tanky. He's hella tanky.
So you can say more than just wow.
At this rate, I'm probably saying more than I should say. His first ability, fantastic for a little bit of life steal when you need it, which, honestly, with the right build, you don't really need it. So, yeah, he's fantastic. He is amazing. Definitely brought right up to my top three.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is quite the Warframe. I guess we all need to look forward to him then.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
Fantastic. I look forward to getting him on console.
One more thing. When you subsume him into the helmet system,
yes.
His ability keeps its cooldown factor, so when you throw it onto another frame, it will still be cooldown-based, not energy-based. So that is an ability you can chuck onto any frame and not have to worry about additional energy costs.
Free ability!
And it's a 5-second duration on that cooldown, so very, very short.
Yes, and it's his zoomy zoom forward one, where he throws little bombs behind him. Zoomy zoom forward.
Yes. Pyong. Yes. Zoomy zoom forward.
Indeed.
It's a fantastic frame.
Ah, now I'm jealous. I want one. But I'll get it on the console when it comes to console. If it ever comes to console, please come to console. He'll come to console. Alrighty, so where does that leave us now in this episode, Lucas?
Community call out.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Fantastic.
Do you have a call out? I think we should just have a simple call out to everyone. Happy holidays to all of our listeners. And even those who aren't listeners, I don't know how this works. We love you all.
Yeah.
If you're not a listener.
We love the Warframe community.
Become a listener. I'm confused. We love you all.
Yeah, we hope and remain safe over these weird, troubling times. You know, let's welcome in the new year as peacefully as we can.
Yeah, life's bloody hard enough. Just be positive, people. Frickin' hell.
Yes.
Frickin'
stay
frick.
Safe.
Stay safe. Yeah. And look after your fellow man, unless they're a prick, in which case don't look after them and move on to other people who may better.
Just don't do anything that would harm them. Do no harm. Do no harm.
Yeah, Hippocrates. Anyway, what's next? King Louis blessing!
Okie dokie. Now, this one comes in from Dutchie, one of our other grand King Louis blessing givers, and he's actually blessed us this week with double Baruch builds. Oof. So, these ones are actually pretty damn cool. I'm actually really excited to try one, if not both of these out. So, I'm going to start off with the second one, because the second one, I think the first one is the way I want to go. The second one's pretty damn good.
The first one.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, the second one is Drop the Mic Baruch. This is an ensnare instead of one desert wind. Instead of one, so you take off Baruch's one and replace it with Ensnare. Desert Wind modded for heavy attack. Ensnare to gather everything up and stack viral. Then heavy attack. When he drops that heal, shit gets dead real quick. Frickin' awesome. So yeah, viral Ensnare with heavy attack Desert Wind. That is freaking awesome. I love the sound of that. But the one I'm really, really excited for. Now, this is called the Angry Monk. And this replaces Baruch's one again with Warcry. Berserker on Serene Storm with Arcane Strike. The attack speed is a bit ridiculous, and that's the point. Baruch smacks, but now he smacks fast AF.
I like that one.
Awesome. Yeah, that is really, really freaking cool. So two fantastic builds from Dutchie. Thank you very much, Dutchie. So go try these builds out, you know. I think there could be some serious chaos with these.
Indeed, there could. Especially that first one. The second one, I'm less excited about. In fact, I'm not excited at all. It's not my thing. But Baruch's not my thing, really. But the first one, even though it is Baroque, Warcry is my thing. And Warcry with Berserker on Serene Storm, pew, 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 I see that being a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing but good.
Crazy times.
Nice. All right, we'll stick on the Duchy theme because we have a reviews update. Last week, we did talk about how there were two on Audible and I was going to leave one till till this week. Haha, that was Duchy. We also got one via email this week, so you know who you are. I will read it out on next week's episode, the very first episode of the new year.
Yay!
So look forward to that one.
That one.
But apart from that, there's no other backlog, so get on out there with the reviews. We're at 139 at the moment. Next week, wow, new year, interesting.
Oh, whoa.
So do you want to do the Audible review from Dutch Master?
Sure, 5-star. It's about damn time. Been listening for a little over a year now. Excellent podcast to keep up to date with the latest in Warframe. Not only do they cover the news and dev streams, but they also have beginner and advanced topic, King Louis Blessing helmet builds, Dr. Cephalon community questions, but they also have their signature weather rambles. The hosts, Greg and Lucas, are great dudes that you can't help but enjoy listening to. Not only is this a great podcast, but they've also built a great community as well. Thanks for all your hard work, gentlemen. Yours truly, Le Dutch Master.
Well, my ass is well and truly kissed. Thank you, Dutchie. I appreciate that. That's a great review and maybe more than you deserve, but thank you so much.
Fantastic review. No. No, we deserve 5 stars.
Fuck yeah, we're awesome. Podcast gods. Or something. Thanks, Dutchie. That is a lovely review. And we really appreciate it. And we have big smiles on our facey holes.
We do. Aww. You can't see it, but you can probably hear it.
Hopefully. Yeah. Speaking of Dr. Cephalon.
Yeah! Dr. Cephalon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went to a different place that time. Lucas took the fucking balls out approach. Whoa.
Yeah, well, that was crazy.
How did it feel? Feels invigorating. See, told you. That's why I love doing it.
Invigorating.
It feels so good to do the Dr. Cephalon, but I left it with you this week because you did so well. All right, this week's Dr. Cephalon is a quick and easy one, actually, and it comes from Banished. He basically answers the whole thing within his question. So here we go. Dear Dr. Cephalon, not sure if you guys have covered this. We kind of have. But it would be good to do an episode on Hydron. People will spend more time in Hydron than anything else in game. You could explain why it's used, in brackets, for affinity farming, and what people are loosely expected to do, in brackets, stay after 5 waves and actually be able to kill things. Could also explain in depth how affinity works and why it's not good to just nuke the map if you're leveling weapons, etc. Just a thought. Okay, we have talked about affinity farming before, and we have talked about Hydron and Helene and some of those other places that you can go to do affinity farming. The reason Hydron is the most effective is because of enemy scaling and the way that affinity scales alongside enemy scaling. You're going to get your best bang for buck by doing it in Hydron because Hydron's not that hard, but the enemy level is high enough that you're going to get good affinity returns. Now, the reality is the difference between the returns you're going to get on Hydron and the returns you're going to get on Helene is actually not massively different. It is different, but it's not massively different. So if you are not confident with Hydron, you can go to Helene. I think it's the same map. Yeah. So that's that. Why do people do it? They go there for affinity farming, exactly like you said, and they stay exactly as long as possible. You are generally expected to stay at least more than 5 waves, so at least up to 10. Most people will be expecting to go up to 20, probably. And you need to be able to kill.
Usually the cutout point is about 15.
15 these days. Interesting. Mm. Well, I guess it's good now that you can choose to leave and because in the past, if anyone chose to leave, it ended for you either all had to leave or you all had to go, basically. Is that how it worked? Fuck, I can't even remember.
No, defense has not changed with how leaving works.
So people could always just leave at any time and the others could stay on.
Yeah, every 5 waves, yeah.
I cannot remember. But yeah, anyone can leave at any old time, and Hydron's not that hard. If you are a player who's been playing for a while, if you're at least over MR10, you should be able to handle up to 15, even 20 on your own. Depends on how many things you're leveling. I used to go to Hydron leveling everything, so leveling a Warframe and 3 weapons. Not ideal, because it will take you a long time, but at least you're leveling 4 things at a time. The most ideal way to do it is to go in with only one weapon. That means you don't have your 2 other weapons equipped, so you only have the one weapon that you want to level. And so what happens there is when people kill things, you're going to get the affinity straight to your weapon. You're going to get 75% to that weapon, 25% to your Warframe, and therefore that weapon will level up really quickly. Yeah. Why isn't it good to nuke the map if you're leveling weapons? Because it's an ability. And using an ability means that all of the kill for the affinity for the kill, I should say, goes to your Warframe and not to your weapons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
It's also good to point out that pets gain their affinity separate from the player.
Yes.
So if anything you kill with a weapon won't give affinity to your pet.
So if your pet is fully leveled and you don't actually need to level a pet, don't bring one.
Yeah.
Or a sentinel. Right. That's the easiest way to go. There are multiple ways of doing things, of course. If you're trying to level a dagger or a melee weapon, sometimes the fastest way to do it is with stealth kills. But you've got to be good at stealth kills. Lucas used to be able to do, 10 to 15 minutes you could level a dagger?
Yeah, do a single exterminate on Saturn and have any melee weapon from 0 to 30 in that single run.
Yeah, I can't do that because I'm not patient. I tend to set people off. You basically have to go through an entire mission and do every single kill as a stealth kill in order to be able to achieve that, and I just go balls out a little bit too much. But still, I could do it within, say, 1.5 rounds, 1.5 missions, which is still quicker than 20 rounds on Hydron, of course. So you do want to, if you're doing any affinity farming, you always want to have an affinity booster on, otherwise it'll take forever. But really, that's why people go to Hydron. I don't think we need to spend an entire episode on Hydron. We could, because really, affinity is actually quite complex, but we have explained all of these different parts before in other episodes. We've just never really done it all in one episode, I guess. But I hope this explanation really explains it all. That's pretty much it. Go to Hydron to level stuff. Stay there as long as you can.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about Hydron, Lucas?
Not on Hydron, but the Elite Sanctuary Onslaught is also really good for leveling up anything quickly as well, as long as you can get the kills in and remain active in there for as long as longer period as possible. You can probably get things from level 0 to 30 in about 4 chambers.
Yeah. See, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd recommend, which isn't as fast, but definitely worthwhile, because if you're after credits, you could also go to places like, shit, what are they called in Pluto? There's 2. Hyrecon and
Dark Sectors?
Yeah, the Dark Sectors on Pluto. I've forgotten the name of the other one. Not Salacia. Hyrecon. Secura. The defense is called Secura, Secura. Now, the reason both of those are good is because for Hyrecon, you can do 2 excavations and get the fuck out. Or in Secura, you can do just a 5-minute one thing of defense, 5 waves of defense, takes 5 minutes and get the fuck out. You do a bit of leveling, of course, because, you know, you're killing stuff, but you're also going to get a big payout in terms of credits. I think the base payout is 25k of credits for doing that 5 minutes. If you've got a credit booster on, that's 50k. If it's your first mission of the day, doubled again. So keep all of that in mind. I used to do that. So I used to have, when I was leveling, I'd go Satura, Hyrecon, Hydron. That's
easy.
Cool.
Easy. Yes.
All right, that brings us to the end of episode 128. We hope you enjoyed it. It was a little bit more of a laid-back show, and my brain didn't work. But what's new? Hey!
And it's the last episode of the year. Indeed. Closing out 2020.
Indeed. So goodbye 2020. Hello 2021. Try not to be too much like 2020. Okay? Please?
Please.
See what you can do. we'll see how we go. I mean, good news is I've got a new job, so I hope it's a good thing. We'll see.
That is a good thing.
I'm giving myself a thumbs up.
It's a fantastic thing. You and I get to meet next year.
We absolutely should. It should happen. I put that...
Should happen.
I say should because I don't know exactly when I'll be allowed to travel and how travel's going to work, but it should happen, and I'll give you a high five. Maybe even a sexy hug with a squeeze of the butt cheeks. But I will ask permission first.
You damn I say yes to the sexy hug.
Yay! He's already said yes. It's happening now,
butt
folks.
Cheek grabbing is maybe all not around. So much.
That's happening now. You said yes to the sexy hug, and the sexy hug implies butt cheek grabbing. Sorry, you said yes. Got it recorded. Anyway, if you'd like to reach out to us for any reason, go over to cephalonsquared.com. It is the place to be for all creatures, great and small, basically. It's the reality of things. Yeah, from there you can join our Discord, join our Facebook group, blah, 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 all the cool stuff. And you really should do those things because they're cool, especially the Discord. Discord's going freaking ham all the time. I don't know what else
Hell
to say.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Let's thank our Patreons.
Yeah, before we do that, though, how do you become a patron? Head on over to cephalonsquared.com/support, and it explains how you can become a patron. If you do not wish to become a monthly subscriber, which is effectively what a patron is, then you can also look at coffee, which is effectively just a pat on the back and a cup of coffee for us, just to say thank you. But you don't have to do that. We're happy to just have you as listeners and members of our community, and we thank you all from the bottom of our hearts just to allow us to keep going. Thank you. But yes, thank you to our patrons.
Thank you, Jellybug1799.
Thank you, Zula.
Thank you, Lord Freezon.
Thank you, Hellbop Comet.
Thank you, Coyote PX.
Thanks, Jackson31.
Thank you, Kintail.
Thank you, Shazim.
Thank you, Implosive_MKV.
New entry! Thank you, Framed for Nothing. Jesus.
Thank you, Dylan Braun.
Thank you, Solarian.
Thank you, Ponytail.
Thank you, Swanky Pants.
Thank you, Zeno Mortis.
And thank you, La Dutch Master. Oh, yeah, it's often Lucas that finishes out, but it was me this time. Thank you all for supporting us. As long as many of you have, we really do appreciate it. And into the new year, as we said, hopefully it'll be a better one for us next year. Speaking of next year, Lucas and I do need to bash our brains together and talk about what our plans might be. Now, I did mention that I have a new job, so I may be limited as to what I can achieve, but Lucas, he's got some ideas. So we will talk about that next week, I believe. That was a question mark. Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yes, we've promised those kind of things. Next week will be the usual, what the hell did we like about 2020? What do we expect from 2021? That kind of stuff. So another kind of relaxed episode. Let us know whether you liked it or didn't like it. We like to hear from people. It is nice.
Yee.
Anyway, my name's Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the interwebs. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri. I'm Silverlight all over the interwebs. SILVRLGHT. Our community is fantastic, amazing, and awesome. I love you guys. Happy New Year. Have a good one, and stay safe.
Happy New Year, indeed. Stay safe, indeed. Have a good one. Hell yeah. Thank you to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro. Thank you to you for listening and for continuing to listen and for everything, always. We'll see you next week and next year.
Bye. Have a good time.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com. where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.